Good day, students. Welcome to our today's teaching. I am going to teach CRK for SS1. And our today's topic is on Christian giving. I am still Mrs. Florence Iwanyawu, your government stroke CRK teacher. We are going to see what Paul told the Philippians and the benefits of Christian giving. We are going to get our readings from the book of Philippians 4, 14 to 20. Philippians 4, 14 to 20. Continue from 2 Corinthians 8, 3 to 5, 2 Corinthians 8, 3 to 5, and then 2 Corinthians 9, 1 to 15, 2 Corinthians 9, 1 to 15. I hope you know you're supposed to be reading with your Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Please, there is a reason for telling you to read only from Revised Standard Version, because that is the standard version of the Bible the WAEC recommended for us. Don't use King James or any other Bible. Okay, if we still remember, the last topic we treated was on spiritual gifts. I told you those gifts, the type of gifts, what Christians are expected to do with these gifts. But today, we are going to concentrate on Christian giving. Please do pay attention. Paul, as the founder of the churches in Philippians and Corinth, made it his responsibility to teach and instruct the Christians about the importance of liberal giving. Okay, liberal giving. Liberal giving here means giving without being forced. That is, giving without someone forcing you to do that. Okay, the Philippian church was noted for its generosity. Paul commended them for sharing with him in his trouble. On more than one occasion, they sent gifts to the great apostle. At the time of writing this epistle, Paul was a prisoner in Rome. That explains it. That as at the time this incident was recorded, Paul was a prisoner. You know what it means to be a prisoner? Though none of us might have gone to prison before, but I can assure you, someone who is a prisoner will not be able to provide for himself. So Paul was showing his gratitude to the Philippians for providing for him, even while he was in prison. To demonstrate their love and concern for the ministry, which was facing rough times as at that time. Now, if you remember, okay, because we've not really done dignity of labor, we shall be doing dignity of labor. It's another topic. You know, Paul used himself as an example of hard work. Ordinarily, he wouldn't have accepted these gifts, because if you read thoroughly about the story of dignity of labor, professionally, Paul was a lawyer, okay? But after he was converted to Christianity, he left his profession and he started mending nets. He started mending nets, trying to advise people not to stay idle. But in this context, he was in prison. He had no other option than to accept. And he didn't just accept these gifts. He was trying to appreciate the gift. You know, one thing is giving, and the next is the recipient appreciating what has been given. It is not always easy for people to appreciate what has been given to them. Some people have this attitude of not being able to say thank you when things are given to them. Always remember to be grateful. Always remember to say thank you. Although it was not in his lifestyle to look for such gifts, he was very appreciative of the spirit that motivated their gifts and care. Thus, he saw it as a fragrant gift of love. Are you following? He saw it as a fragrant gift of love, a sacrifice acceptable to God. His God will therefore supply every need of theirs in return, according to the abundance of his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I hope you are following. Paul is trying to make us understand that when we give to the Lord, surely he will really give us back. I can assure you that those people who gave to Paul then, we are not really giving to Paul ordinarily. They were trying to build the ministry of God. They were expecting blessings from God. That is exactly what the Bible encourages us to do. When you do the right thing, or when you give liberally without being forced, God will surely replenish. Okay. Paul showed special appreciation for the gifts because at that time, the Philippians were under persecution. Are you getting it? As at the time they gave out these gifts, the Philippians were under persecution, for which they were deprived of so many of their rights. They were also not financially well-to-do. Yet, in spite of these constraints or predicaments, they showed concern for the plight and progress of his ministry. Okay, now it is just a typical of what is happening right now in our society. The issue of COVID-19, coronavirus, if you like, it is something that no one knows when it's going to end. Okay, a lot of people are in pain. A lot of people don't have what to eat. A lot of people don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring for them because they have limited resources. Now, it would be nice for us, those of you whose parents are well-to-do, you know, remind them of some of your friends who are in such predicaments. They can, you know, they can hand in or hand out one or two things to them. I remember one of our students in SS2 who came to see me last time telling me, asking me, Auntie, do you know of some families, you know, they could help, that the parents bought some palliatives and, you know, they were trying to share those things, but they don't actually know the families to give it to. I was touched. I mean, that's exactly what Bible tells us today. That is exactly what Paul was trying to demonstrate when he wrote to the Philippians. He was trying to thank them for reaching out to him. Now that we are in this state, those of you whose parents are well-to-do, please ask them, encourage them to give to the less privileged around you. You might never know. Somebody you think that has might not even have. Okay, I'm not asking you to go about giving people because you're still kids. And sure, you don't have anything doing. But I'm saying, in case you see them sharing and you know those who are in need of these palliatives, please encourage your parents to extend their hands to such people because their reward will come from God. Okay. Paul therefore wrote this epistle to Philippians for their generous gifts, thereby sharing in his troubles. He prayed that God might bless them with increased prosperity, that as partners with him, they had given him the spiritual and moral support for bearing his difficulties. Okay, I'm sure you still remember the conversion of Paul, or Saul rather. You still remember the story? I think we did that last time. Now, it wasn't easy for him to abandon his position. You know, he was well-respected man before he was converted. And of course, he was the persecutor, now become the persecuted. And of course, during the period he accepted Christ, he worked so hard. He went from place to place, spreading the good news. But of course, he was already a wanted person, because that means he has gone against the Jewish tradition he was protecting before then. Okay, let us look at the rewards of giving, the positive aspect of giving. Okay, Paul praises the willingness and readiness of the Corinthians to give. He stressed that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I think it's self-explanatory. When you give with all your heart, either to God or to the less privileged, surely God has one way or the other to replenish from wherever you brought it out from. Okay? For God loves a cheerful giver. For God loves a cheerful giver. He urged them to continue to give because he had always boasted with them and hoped they would not fail his confidence in them. He also urged them that God blesses one according to how one gives. Now, I think this thing is a kind of a rule of nature. It has nothing to do with righteousness, if you ask me. It is just the law of nature. If you give, you will never lack. And that you're not lacking doesn't make you a righteous person. There's a popular saying that says that givers never lack. Yeah, givers never lack. But that doesn't make them righteous. Okay, it is just a natural law. When you give out with all your heart, at the time when you feel you would have lacked something, God will have another way of replenishing, one way or the other. But we are always being encouraged to give, you know, without being forced. Let us not just give, and after giving, we're like, oh God, if I had kept that money, probably I would have used it to buy something. No, you have canceled everything. And of course, the Bible also advises us not to allow people to know what we have done for other person. Okay? Okay? All right. Now let's look at the moral lessons. Number one, giving is an acknowledgement of the fact that we received. I'll take it again. Giving is an acknowledgement of the fact that we received. Is that clear? You know, we are trying to be grateful to God that he had blessed us. That's what this one is talking about. Life is a gift and should be devoted to the service of its owner. Who is its owner? God. All right? If God has blessed us, we should also bless others in return. Okay, the next point is we also give to demonstrate that we are not selfish. We also give to demonstrate that we are not selfish. We should share what we have to help those who have not. The duty of every Christian is to share with others. Very pathetic, isn't it? This COVID-19 situation had really opened the eyes of so many of us to realize that most Nigerians are really suffering. You know, I ran into a woman at the marketplace some weeks back. She was carrying in the tray pepper, fresh pepper. That was all she had in the tray. And as at the time I saw this woman, it was around 2:30 or thereabout. She was crying and I was touched. I was buying something from someone very close to her. And I said, "Madam, what is it?" She said, "Ever since she came to the market, nobody had said how much are you selling a pepper? And that the money she had that morning was the money she used in buying that pepper to resell. Honestly, I was touched. Though I had already bought some pepper, and I kind of bought from her too. And it was like God was waiting for me to buy from her when two other women came and bought. You know, I was trying to see if I could put a smile on her face. All right? So some people very close to us are really suffering without us knowing. All right? So the point encourages us to help, no matter how little. No matter how little the thing we want to use to help is, we should always try to help. Okay. The next point is, Christians are enjoined to give freely and liberally to the poor, needy, widows, and orphans. I'll take it again. Christians are enjoined to give freely and liberally to the poor, the needy, widows, and orphans. Of course, we know this. This is self-explanatory, isn't it? The next point is, Christians owe it as a responsibility to give their substance, treasure, talent, time, and knowledge to the service of God. I'll take it again. Christians owe it as responsibility to give their substance, treasure, talent, time, and knowledge to the service of God. That is, whatever we have received as gift from God, we should use it to help one another. Okay. The last but not the least, thus the Philippians and Corinthian churches were praised by Paul because they laid good examples. Okay. And that is exactly what is expected of us today. They laid good examples by giving to the poor. Not just giving to the poor, they also gave to Paul while he was in prison. Even when they themselves are not finding the situation easy, okay, they still found out a means through which they gave out to Paul. Okay, you can still, extract your own moral lesson outside the ones I've given you right now. You, after reading the Bible, you extract your own moral lessons. But to be sure that you got the reading chapters, I'll repeat them again. Go to Philippians 4, 14 to 20. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 to 20. Continue from 2 Corinthians 8, 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 8, 3 to 5. And then 2 Corinthians 9, 1 to 15. 2 Corinthians 9, 1 to 15. Hope to come your way next week. Have a lovely day.